Turn with me this morning to the first chapter of the book of Leviticus and the 4th and 5th verse. Leviticus chapter 1. And I'll consider the 4th and 5th verse. But let us start at the first verse as we read together. The Lord called unto Moses Please God to make known His will, His purpose, and His desire through the mouths of men. Called unto Moses. Raised up Moses. All of us know the story of Moses. Great man, wasn't he? Great man who loved God. He called him the meekest man upon the face of the earth. Called unto Moses and spake unto him as one man speaks to another man. Out of the tabernacle of the congregation, this is what he had to say. He said, speak unto the children of Israel. Say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, and that'll be what we're talking about this morning, is the burnt offering. There's 4 or 5 offerings. Peace offering, and meal offering, so forth, but this here in particular is the burnt offering. If his offering be a burnt offering, a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. At the door of the tabernacle, which is the only place under the economy of Moses that during the establishment of the tabernacle, it's the only place that an offering could be made was at the door of the Lord. At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, that was the Lord's dwelling place, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. And it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for it. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Well, what I have to say this morning, I'm just going to make a couple shots, but I want to make them good. I want to be like my grandson. He told me the other day, when he does something in a positive way, he uses this expression, I nailed it. He shoots a basketball and it goes through. He said, I nailed one. Come out there the other day with his BB gun. And he and his dad was going out there in the woods to see if they could find him a chipmunk to shoot at. And so when he came back, I said, "Did you see any chipmunks, Drew?" He said, "No, we didn't see any." He said, "Josie, that's their dog. She seen him before we did, and she'd chase him away." I said, "Well, what did you shoot at?" She said, "I thought I seen one." He said, "There's something black down there." His dad said, "Well, that was just a stump, just a piece of wood." Yeah, he said, "But if it had been a chipmunk," he said, "I'd have nailed it." Well, that's with me. I was going to make two or three shots, but shots I make, I won't nail them. Kind of like the little boy. They were kind of having, they used to do these things in families. Don't do it anymore, I don't think. Some families do, I suppose. They gather around on Saturday night and get the family around to read the Bible and pray. And a little boy, he prayed. And he said in his prayer, he said, "Lord, help the preacher to say something tomorrow morning that I can understand." So that's, I'm hoping that I can say something this morning that we'll all understand. And I can nail it down. Well, first off, this particular passage of Scripture that I read to you and tried to emphasize, verse 4 and 5, says that there's two things that's vital and essential of the ceremonial law in regard to the sacrifices. And both of them are mentioned in the text. Let me say it again now. Two things essential in the sacrifices of the ceremonial law. Two things. And both of them are mentioned in the text. Number one is this. The individual involved in bringing voluntarily a sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle of the Lord, he must put his head or put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. That's the first thing. He's got to put his hand upon the head of the victim that's about to be sacrificed. And the second thing that is essential, that he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. He's got to put his hand upon the head of the sacrifice, and he's got to kill that sacrifice before the Lord. Now, the appropriation by the offerer and the death of the offering are fitly or inseparably joined together. Neither of them can be overlooked. In chapter 1 here, in verse 8, chapter 3, verse 2. He says the same thing. It says in verse 2 of chapter 3, "And he," that's the offerer, I said this is essential, he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 8 of the same chapter. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. Now in chapter 4 and verse 4. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. Now, in verse 15 of that same chapter, and the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And verse 24 of the same chapter, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Now, all through the book of Leviticus here, the laying on of the hand and the killing of the victim are mentioned in a immediate connection. Mentioned together, joined together, fitly framed together. He shall lay his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. Now, we've established that. The Scriptures establishes that the soul that voluntarily brings a sacrifice before the Lord must lay his hand upon the sacrifice, and he must kill the sacrifice. But there's a whole lot that goes on before you arrive at this point. Now, before he reaches this point, the person who presents the offering, the bullock, has to make a selection of the animal. He has to find the animal that he's going to bring to present before the Lord. And it will not be easy for him to find the right animal. Not any animal will do. The animal that he finds shall be a male without blemish. It's got to be an animal without blemish. When I say without blemish, I mean it cannot be lame. It cannot be bruised. It cannot have any fault or blemish in or of itself. And it must be of a certain age. And for this reason, a careful examination must be made. So there is a lot of work that's put into this prior to the time that you bring the animal to the door of the congregation or to the door of the tabernacle before you lay your hand upon its head. There's a lot of preparation that takes place. Got to find the right animal. Now the Lord would not accept then, nor will he now, accept a sacrifice that's lame, broken, bruised, deficient in any of its parts. He wouldn't do it then, and He won't do it now. He requires an offering without spot. That's what God requires. Without blemish, without spot, without bruise, without fault. That's what He requires. So this man who brings it, he scrutinizes. He observes. He walks around his sacrifice. He looks underneath. He looks in his eyes. He looks at his hide, his skin, his looks him all over real good. Not just one time, maybe two or three times, for fear that he might miss something, because if he misses something and brings this victim, this offering to the altar of God, and a blemish is detected, automatically he's disqualified. So there's got to be a whole lot of careful examination on the part of the offerer concerning his offering. Now I want you and I here this morning who seek reconciliation with God. Who seek reconciliation with God. We need to be reconciled unto God. Now, all the every member of Adam's race needs to be reconciled unto God, but not all members of Adam's race seeks to be reconciled unto God. A lot of people, they could care less. The world is full of people right now. Right now. This minute, right now, who do not give a hoot or holler as to be reconciled with God. They are indifferent, unconcerned, spend their life in a tale that is well told, but have no consideration of God or no consideration of their own soul. I'm speaking this morning to those of us who seek reconciliation with God. If we seek reconciliation with God, our seeking, even that is of God. It's not of our own making. Because if left to ourselves, we would never seek God. Does not the Bible say that there's none seeketh after God? No, not one. But if we are in that sacred group that seeks reconciliation with God, I call upon us to consider whether the Lord Jesus Christ be such an atoning sacrifice as we need and as God will accept. Is He? Now, if there's any of you under the sound of my voice here this morning, if there is any of you that know of any other atonement for sin, then I say unto you, I say, examine it well. And if you examine it well, as this Jew or Israelite who went out to his herd, if you will examine it as he examined his, I'll guarantee you that you will find a flaw and fault in that one that you think is fit for an atonement. But concerning the Lamb of God, concerning God's Christ, concerning Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, I have no question this morning that you may search and test and try, and you will not find any blemish in him. I guarantee that. If there were any fault in him, either of excess or of deficiency, then you might refuse him. You might say, I've examined him. I reject him. I found a fault in him. You, if you could find it, you might refuse him. But since there is nothing of that nature in him, then I pray you, and I pray me, that I immediately receive him as my atonement and my covering for my sins. If you will look at him, look at him in his deity, look at him in his Godhead. You know my favorite expression is that he's as much God as if he is never man, and as much man as if he was never God. He is God and man in one person. If you look at his Godhead and you look at his manhood, if you look at his life, if you look at his suffering, if you look at his death, if you look at his acts, you can find him holy, without blemish, and undefiled, and you'll be forced to say at the conclusion of search, in him is no sin. No blemish in him. Oh no. He had no acquaintance with sin. After you have well examined his blessed person and his blessed character, if you arrive at this conclusion, and this is the conclusion that I've arrived at, that he is a fit and acceptable sacrifice for you to present before God, then do it. Receive him as your atonement. It's wonderful to me. Great and glorious thing to me. That we're not like the Jew of old. Have to go out and find us an offering. Have to go out in our field and find a bullock. Supply a bullock for an offering. That's the way the Jews had to do. That's the way this man had to do. He said, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. And he had to go out and supply a male bullock without blemish. But you and I, listen to me now. God has provided him a sacrifice, a sacrifice you don't have to bring. God has already provided a sacrifice for himself. Let me read this to you over in the book of Genesis here. If I can find it real quick. Just thought of it. Genesis chapter 22. Now, this is what I'm talking about. I said, it's a wonderful thing now that you don't have to find a sacrifice like the Jew who had to supply the bullock. God has provided himself a sacrifice by which you may bring to him. You don't have to go out and find him. God has provided Himself a sacrifice which He'll accept. Now listen to this. Isaac, verse 7, Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father? And the father answered his son and said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire, the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Where's the lamb? I see the fire. See the altar here. See the wood. We got to have a sacrifice. Where's the lamb? Now listen to what it says here. Abraham said, Son, God will provide Himself a lamb. God has provided Himself a lamb that He'll accept. And that lamb is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. No blemish in that lamb that God has provided. Oh, the beauty of it is that God will accept what He provides. God first brings to you, so you don't have to repeat the examination. You see, He's already been examined. The Lord Jesus Christ has passed the test, both by the hands of men and by the hands of the devil. They looked Him over. They started from the time He was born until the time they took Him to the tree, and they examined Him inside and outside the best that they could. And they found no fault in Him. The Bible says they found nothing in Him. He's already been tried and He's already been tested. The Lamb of God. But now listen to me. There's something else here. There's another thing apart from the sacrifice here. We know by what we've read, what we've said thus far, God demands the sacrifice. The Jew had to go get one, had to be without blemish, fault, had to be perfect before the Lord, before God had accepted. I said, you and I who seek to be reconciled unto God, we have a sacrifice. We seek to be reconciled, we have a sacrifice. God provided Himself a sacrifice. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. They looked Him over, He's tried and tested and find no fault in Him. But there's one thing you and I got to do. What's that? We got to lay our hands upon the head of this sacrifice. God's provided Himself a sacrifice. We got to lay our hand upon His head. Got to do it. Got to lay your hands upon the head of the sacrifice provided. To the Jew, it was a sacrifice to be killed. To you, it's a sacrifice already offered. And this, you are to recognize as your own. The sacrifice that God provided has already been offered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to identify with it. If you're ever to be saved, if I'm ever to be saved from the guilt, shame, and the punishment that's due me as a sinner, I got to lay my hand on the head of the sacrifice. Huh? Now, he that laid his hand upon the head of the sacrifice was making a confession. He made a confession when he laid, there's that animal. Laurie looked him over. And he reached over there and he put his hand upon the head of that victim that was about to be killed. Our victim that God's provided is already killed. He's already offered. That fellow there's got to put his hand upon him, and we got to put our hand upon the victim that's already offered, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he makes a confession of his sins when he lays his hand upon the head of the sacrifice. Now, it doesn't make any difference to me what kind of an offering that is to be brought by the Jews. There was always a mention of sin which implied or expressed in no uncertain terms that the sacrifice here was a sacrifice of sweet savor, a sweet smelling sacrifice unto God. The bullock there was a sweet savor unto God. They were saying that this has a sweet smell to the nostrils of God. Why then did this Jew bring a sweet smelling sacrifice or offering unto God? Why? I'll tell you why. Because he knew and he felt that in and of himself he was not a sweet savor. He was not a sweet smelling sacrifice in and of himself. If he was, if he thought that he was, why would he bring another one? He knew that he was guilty. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he wasn't a sweet smelling savior unto God. He knew that. And so he brought one that would be this bullock without fault, without blemish, spotless. The Lord Jesus Christ is that way, sweet Savior unto God. When I receive the Lord Jesus Christ to be my righteousness, it's my confession of sin. What I'm saying is, when I receive Him, when I lay my hand on Him as a confession of my sin and of need of a righteousness, I wouldn't do it if I had a righteousness. But I confess that I have no righteousness. I confess that I'm not a sweet-smelling savor unto God. I need one. So I identify with the bullock. I identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. I lay my hand upon Him. The woman who had that blood problem, that issue of blood, she identified with Him. She's in this big crowd of people. And she couldn't get to Him. She knew if she could get to Him and just touch Him, everything would be all right. And so, she was so intense about this. She didn't say, "Would you kindly move over so I can get through?" But she pressed into that crowd, indicative of force. She made her way in and could barely see Him. And she stuck her hand through the crowd and she barely touched Him. And when she touched Him, virtue came from that touch from the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was instantly healed. And the Lord said, I felt virtue going from me. Who touched me? She identified with me. We got to identify with him. If you would have him for your atonement, whom God has appointed to be his sacrifice, God will provide himself a lamb. You must come to him confessing your sin. You must touch the Lord. And it must be the touch of one who's conscious of his guilt and of his sin. You say, well, I'm not conscious of being a sinner. Ain't no hope for you. Christ only saves sinners. He came to seek and to save sinners. You say you're clean and undefiled? Well, then he's not for you. You have your own righteousness. You stand on it. He's for sinners. He's for sinners. And when you reach out and touch the sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, it must be a touch of one who's conscious of who he is. He's a sinner. Guilty. Guilty before God. He belongs not to you. Unless you're a sinner. Think of it. He belongs not to you unless you're a sinner. Anybody here this morning refuse to make a confession of his guilt? The medicine is only prepared for the sick one. If you're not sick, physician's got nothing for you. Huh? Why would a righteousness be provided for the innocent? You're not innocent. You think you are, but you're not. You're guilty. You're guilty. And there'll be no relief for your soul until you touch him whom God has provided for himself a sacrifice. And you must touch him. With a touch causes you to be conscious of who you are. Wayward, you wandered. The way back, reconciliation is through him whom God has provided. It's the hungry that shall be filled with good things. It's the thirsty who will have his thirst quenched. If you're clean and undefiled, well, no hope for you. No hope for you. The person here, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will. That person who brings the bullock, this is what he's saying. He's saying, I cannot of myself keep the law of God. That's what he's saying. His conscience has been pricked. And he says to God, through this sacrifice, he said, I cannot keep the law of God, or I cannot make atonement for my past sins. And I can't make atonement for my present. And he says, neither can I have hope through future obedience to become acceptable with God. That's what he's saying. I make no promises. I can't of myself do anything. So I bring this sacrifice because I cannot become acceptable without. And neither can you. Neither can I. I can't become acceptable with God without an acceptable sacrifice. and I know of no other acceptable sacrifice. As a matter of fact, I'd be very positive in saying that there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we might be saved except the name of God's Lamb, whom God provided and whom God provides, He will accept. So I bring this sacrifice because I cannot become acceptable without it. I'm accepted. You remember what the Bible, Paul preached and preached on this. Accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the sacrifice. Accepted in the substitute. Accepted in the Lamb of God. Ah, listen. One time in the church, the Sunday school group gathered there, several boys and several girls. And it was read by the teacher from the Scriptures. Or she quoted the Scripture. Or he, I don't know, he or she. That the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. They said He's precious. He's precious. And so the teacher, she said, "Can any of you tell me what precious means?" And nobody said a word. They thought about it for a good while. And after a bit, one of them, little boy, he said, "My daddy said the other night, he said, mother is precious. What would we do without her?" And that'll shed some light on him. He's precious. And what would you do without Him? Huh? What would you do without Him? Huh? No hope. No hope to be found outside of Him. He, in His own body, bore our sins on the tree. I know this about myself, that I'd be lost forever if He didn't save me. I couldn't save myself. I have no merit, I have no strength, and I have no righteousness. But I find merit and righteousness and strength in Him who to know is life eternal. When we receive Him who God provides, He accepts us because He cannot refuse His Son. When we receive the atonement made in person the work of the Lord Jesus, God cannot but accept us because He cannot refuse to accept His Son. Huh? Boy, that's precious to my heart. He who has become our covering, our shield, our holy place, our hiding place, covered in the sacrifice which God has provided. All this is involved in what I'm saying. And the last thing that I want to say, I haven't got time to say everything that I intended to say, just say one more, make one more comment here. When that offerer comes and lays his head upon this poor creature, it's a confession of punishment as well as a confession of identification. Confession of punishment. He puts his head upon this poor bullock He knows this bullock must die. He knows that. He then acknowledges by knowing what the fate is of this bullock, he then acknowledges that he himself deserves this death. What's going to happen to this bullock is what I deserve. That's what he's saying. When his throat is cut, that's the way they killed him. Cut their throats. Sharp knives. Stuck it and they know where to do it. And the blood just gushed forth from that bullock. And that bullock fell into the dust, struggling, kicking. And the blood just kept pouring out. You ever shoot a deer? I never shot one yet that I wasn't ashamed of after I shot it. And I've shot a few of them. I see that poor deer still kicking and I'm walking through the snow or the brush, kicking and struggling in the dust. You know what I'm talking about. The offerer, when he sees him struggling there in the dust, kicking and bleeding, the offerer confesses right then, "This is what I deserve." Hadn't been too long ago. My dog got down under that pine tree where I live there, got to carrying on, barking and barking and barking. Couldn't get her to leave. Wasn't even daylight yet. And I went in the house and got the light and went out there and wandered around under that tree looking. I couldn't see a thing. I said, "Come on, pup, let's quit. Give it up. Nothing there. Let's go home. Come on, let's go, let's go." Wouldn't go. Shined the light up and there was a coon up in the tree. Big old coon. Eyes just shine up with that light up there. Wasn't bothering nobody except that dog. Well, this, you know, you hear about the coons having, what is that, rabies. Well, that coon comes down out of there and the dog and him gets into a fight, he'll bite that dog and the dog will get rabies and lose my dog. So I didn't know what to do, so I waited till daylight and the coon moved on up the tree. So I didn't have a gun that would, I just have a shot, I had a shot. Well, I don't even have the shotgun. I have a high-powered rifle, and I didn't want to shoot that thing up there, you know. So I called Mitch, and I said, "Bring your rifle and come over. There's a coon up a tree. We want to shoot him out of there." We couldn't went there, and we couldn't. Mitch come. We couldn't find him. So we got the ladder and get up on the roof of the house. We looked and we looked. Mitch said, "I finally see him." I said, "Can you get him?" "Yeah, I think I can." All right. He shot once. He said, "I hit him." We seen him move. After that, he shot again. He fell. Two or three limbs down. The pine tree's got a lot of limbs. Kept holding on to him. Keep shooting me. Kept shooting. Finally fell out of there. Hit the ground. When he hit the ground, he began to whimper. Whine. You ever hear a wounded animal whine? Martha heard it in the house. She was in the house. And she heard that whine. I felt so sorry for that coon. I heard him whine. When that offer, when he killed, cut that bullock's throat, and the bullock fell, and the blood gushed out, kicked and struggled, I think of that coon. Oh, why? that offer, said his whining, shedding of his blood. That's mine. I deserve that. That's what I deserve. Huh? Oh, listen to me. He confesses that that's what he deserves. He owns that the death from Almighty God's hand was due him. That's what he owns. That death's due me. Oh, listen. We confess that we can't deliver ourselves and have so sinned so as to deserve all this damnation and deserve the curse of God. It's only then that we're going to lean on Him. I hope this morning you can see what I'm talking about. That I have nailed what I've said. Got to have a sacrifice. Got to have it. You got to touch it. You got to own that your conscience has been smitten and pierced by the Spirit of God. And you found out that you're guilty. And there's nothing that will pacify your conscience except that sacrifice. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Well, I'll be like old Whatchamacallit. I'll quit there. And then tonight, I'm going to tell you about the second thing. He shall kill the bull. All this other, all the scrutinizing and careful observation and examination prior to laying on the hands, all of that don't mean anything until